Good morning and God bless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be able to examine the Word of God here this morning on the Lord's Day. This beautiful day God's given us. Hope again to be back up there at the church house soon. It's very regrettable that we are not able to come together right now. We'll just be in prayer that the district allows it soon. And most of all, let's watch and pray as we wait the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you got your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Beginning in verse 35. I'll give you a moment to find it. Luke 18 and 35. The Lord tells us, Luke 18, verse 35, "And it came about that as he approached Jericho," that was Jesus, "a certain blind man was sitting by the road, begging. Now hearing a multitude going by, he began to inquire what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying all out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he had come near, he questioned him, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight, and he began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God." This is the Word of God. Let us receive it as such. And that is from the New American Standard Bible. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness that you shew forth to all people, Lord, through thy Son, Jesus Christ, and our blessed hope of salvation through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Father, for that and the gift of the Holy Ghost in our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we examine your Word, to be able to understand it, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be able to apply it to our lives, that we may be living holy, set apart lives for you, Lord, and to be an example and a witness around us as we watch and wait, awaiting your blessed coming from the eastern sky, Lord. We'll be forever with you for all eternity. Father God, help all these people around us that's sick. Lord, this disease and plague that surrounds us, Lord, so many diseases around us, Lord, we ask you to take it away and keep us safe. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, there's more sicknesses than we know. Lord, people sick physically and mentally. We ask you, Lord, to heal them. Heal them in their mortal bodies, Lord. And heal their spirit. And Lord, we ask you to heal all those, most of all, that's sick spiritually, Lord. That's got sin in their life. That's corrupt in their soul, Lord. We ask you to lift them up. Cleanse them by the blood of Jesus and call them into your faith. The holy faith, Lord. The one truth of the gospel. We thank you, Lord. Open our hearts to receive you and your word, even the word you have to speak this morning, Lord. Bless all those. Bless us all. In the name of Jesus, Lord, to not only be hearers of your word, but doers, as we are in these latter days. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have his word right here. There in verse 35 again, we read, "And it came about that as he was approaching Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting by the road begging." Jesus was approaching, going by that way. And this poor blind man, he was sitting by the road just begging. That's all he could do. He couldn't get up and go work and do something for himself and provide for himself. He had to just sit there and beg. Beg for somebody to help him. Begging around. He had no way to do it himself. He just sat by the road just begging. How sad. Lord help. He was just begging. He was blind, but we too. We was blind physically, but at one point in our lives, and maybe in this very day you too are, blind spiritually, blind to the truth and blind to the reality that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but through him, that there's only one way to heaven, and that's by him. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And as the old hymn says, "I once was blind, but now I see." But this man, he was blind physically. He couldn't see light from day. He couldn't see the creation around us. He couldn't see all these people. So he says there in verse 36, when he couldn't hear all this going around, now hearing a multitude going by, he couldn't see them, but he could hear when a large crowd was passing by. He could tell that's a bunch of people. He could tell there's a lot of people. He could tell them talking, the footsteps, all that around. It's a quite a multitude. He began hearing a multitude going by. He began to inquire what this might be. Being blind, he probably had a very good sense of hearing, seeing all these people with his mind and his ear listening so well. He says there he began to inquire what this might be. Listen real close. He could hear all these people going by. And he's wondering, why is this? No doubt he sat on that road many times. It says he was sitting by the road begging. Who's probably familiar with hearing about how many people came by? But when a great multitude, it was a difference. There was a difference that day. He began to inquire what this might be. Verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. They told him why. And praise God, he knew. He'd heard about Jesus. He knew who the Lord was. To some extent, so he called out in verse 38, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He couldn't see where Jesus was. He couldn't see in the crowd. If he'd already passed the crucifix to the pastor, if he's passing right now, all he knew is that Jesus was over there. Jesus was listening. All he could say was, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Just as we too, when we was blind, and if you're blind to this very day spiritually, you may not be able to look over here, well, there's Jesus sitting right there. We can't see him. He's up in heaven, ascended on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where he has sat down because of the finished work of Calvary. He's redeemed us. Brothers and sisters, we may not can see him physically, but you can just cry out to him wherever you are. Every moment of every day, you can say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. You can call upon his name. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise of the Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Call upon him. The Bible says, seek me, and you shall find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, the Bible says. God will answer when you call upon him. He called out this poor old blind man, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. He wanted God's mercy, and God is always willing to give his mercy. God is God of mercy, grace, love, and he's a God of justice. But God always, first and foremost, he always wants to give mercy before he gives the justice. He wants to give grace and mercy and his love showing forth through his love. That's what always God wants. He doesn't want to bring out the chastening rod to whoop us. He wants us to simply come to him first before he has to bring out the rod. He wants us to come to him first for grace and mercy. Come to him for grace and mercy every day. We can find our grace to help. And every time of need, the Hebrews tells us. He called him out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It would do us good as children of God every day. Cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, help me. I want to be close to you. And all the lost people in the world can cry unto Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Praise God. He says there in verse 39. Notice here. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. Notice there. This is the ones that led the way, walking in that crowd. Those who led the way were sternly telling him, be quiet. They didn't just politely ask, sir, please be quiet. No, they told him, you have to be quiet. You need to be quiet. Sternly, very sternly, telling him. Telling him to be quiet. You know, this very day, there's a lot of voices that'll tell you to be quiet. The devil's always prowling about. People talk about the devil being in hell with a little old ball of fire and pitchfork. He's not there. The Bible tells us that the devil is prowling about like a roaring lion throughout this world, seeking whom he may devour, brothers and sisters. He's the enemy, the father of lies. He's the wicked one. But praise God, we know Jesus Christ, the Son, God the Father Almighty. And that devil's going to tell you from time to time. He may be telling you that today. He's going to tell you, sternly telling you, be quiet. Don't call upon the Lord. You can deal with it yourself. You're a tough fella. You might be a tough woman. You can deal with it yourself. The truth is you can't. You can't redeem yourself. You can't make yourself right. You can never make yourself good enough to go to heaven. It's only through God's grace and mercy, calling upon him, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus, have mercy. That's the only way to heaven. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. The devil will tell you, don't bother doing that. You can be good enough. The devil will tell you, he may be telling you, you'll never be good enough. Don't even fool with it. But brothers and sisters, you'll never be good enough. But God says, come to me. And by the blood of Jesus, you will be good enough. By redemption in him, you are. Because God loves you right now, just as you are. Oh, he loves you. If you're lost on the straight path to hell, God loves you just the same as he loves me. as he loved Moses, as he loved all the saved people from Genesis to Revelation, all God's children. He loves them just the same. He loves all the church. He loves the lost people just the same. He's calling you, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You can have rest. You can have peace. You can have joy through Jesus Christ, God's own Son. He said there those that were led the way were sternly telling him, don't listen to the devil, don't listen to those around us. We see here all around us people telling the church of the living God, be quiet, don't call upon Jesus, don't share the gospel, don't gather together as the assembling of the saints on the Lord's Day. There's people all around us telling us, sternly saying, don't follow the Lord. Brothers and sisters, no matter where you are, what you do, you can call upon the name of the Lord and you can serve Him. We have the Word of God, God's letter to us, the instruction book, the Holy Spirit in our heart. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in your heart to guide us and show us the way. It don't matter what voice in this world, whether it be kinfolk, stranger, the devil himself, nobody, no matter who they are, if they tell you to be quiet, don't do it. We serve the Lord God Almighty as His children. Listen to what He has to say. Call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the temple veil was ripped from top to bottom. God ripped it, and God says, we come straight to Him. There's no priest between us and Him. There's only the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We can come boldly into the throne of grace by His blood. We come straight to God. Don't let anyone ever tell you you have to go through some person. Go straight to God. We assemble together to edify one another and read the Word together and understand and pray for one another and sing hymns and praises to God. But you go straight to God for your salvation. Straight to Him through Jesus Christ. These people were sternly telling this blind man to be quiet, just as the devil may sternly tell you to be quiet. He may be telling you if you're blind spiritually, to not bother, but do bother, do it. Call upon Him. Call upon the name of the Lord. In verse 39, part 2, but he kept crying out all the more. He didn't listen to them. He didn't care what they had to say, because he knew Jesus could heal him. He knew it. He had faith in Him, but he kept crying out all the more. Keep crying. Keep seeking. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says the effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Not just one little one. It says the effectual over and over. We're not talking about vain repetitions, as Jesus told us were wrong, that the pagans do, vainly repeating. Oh, I said this prayer 33 times. I must be getting somewhere with the Lord. That's not what God says. Truly fervent prayer, praying for something with all your heart, loving Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Fervent prayer, caring, calling out to the Lord, getting down on your knees and begging the Lord. He was sternly told not to do it, but he kept crying out all the more, no matter what. He may not have felt it, but he did it anyways, because he knew Jesus was there. No matter what you feel like, call upon the name of the Lord. No matter if you feel His presence or not, our feelings change. Our feelings can shift with feelings in this world, our physical bodies, our minds. But brothers and sisters, God is not dependent on our feelings. It rests on His integrity. He told us in this Word, if you call upon Him in faith, He will answer you. That's a promise. Whether you feel it or not, He will answer you. No matter what, that's what the Word of God tells us. Believe it. Trust it. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people that's wanting to, that base their faith on how they feel. They may be feeling the presence of the Lord, I think, but it's really not. It's just an emotional experience. They may have got it from a key change in a song or something one or another. Brothers and sisters, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Trusting the Lord. It takes action. It takes putting our trust in Him. It's not a feeling. It's more deeper than that. Do the right thing and the right things will eventually follow. Brothers and sisters, don't follow the feelings. Feelings change. Because where is the center of our emotions? Our emotions is the heart. That's where it's centered at. So what does the Bible tell us about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things. It can't be trusted on its own, brothers and sisters. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's our whole being, our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. Love Him with all your whole being. Don't just weigh one above the other. Love it with all of it. And follow God with all your being. Brothers and sisters, he kept crying out. All the more he knew Jesus was there. They told him he was there. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, Jesus is there for you. Call upon his name. He died on the cross of Calvary so that you could come to heaven. He took your sins upon himself. When he stretched out his arms and said, it is finished. He gave up the ghost. He died. And he rose again on the third day so that we can be dead to our trespasses and sin and risen as new creation, born again. Except a man or woman is born again, they shall not see the kingdom of heaven. It won't happen, brothers and sisters, but if you're born again, you'll be there. The kingdom of heaven is within us right now. And one of these days, kingdom's not of this world, but one of these days, heaven and earth will pass away, and God's kingdom will be here for all eternity in the new Jerusalem, brothers and sisters. Sternly kept telling him, but he kept crying out all the more, not just one more time, all the more. He kept on persistently praying. As children of God, we need to be persistently praying. The Bible tells us, ye have not because ye ask not. Are you wanting more of God? Pray. Seek it. Faith like this cometh not by prayer and fasting, Jesus says. We need to be close to God, not for outward appearance, but from an inward. Get our inward right, and the outward will take care of itself, brothers and sisters. Sternly, he kept crying out all the more. Knocking, the door will be open. Seeking, ye shall find. Are you knocking? Sometimes when you walk up to someone's house, if I just knock once, just a little time, they're probably not going to hear. But God wants us to keep knocking, keep praying, keep seeking him. Keep on, because sometimes God will answer our prayer, but it may be delayed till their time is right. He may grant the prayer. He may say, I will do this for you, my child. But it's going to be a month, a year. Who knows how long down the road? We can see this in the book of Daniel and elsewhere in the Bible, where God grants a prayer, but it was delayed for the perfect time. Because God's time is perfect. Ours is imperfect. We can't see the whole scope of history of the universe and time, but God does, because he created it and he sustains it. He holds it together. He didn't just, like the great clockmaker, some of the deists will say that he wound up the clock of the world, just sat back and let it ride. He didn't do that. He sustains it. If God wasn't holding this world up and sustaining it, it would be falling apart. God sustains it. He loves us. He guides us. He shows us the way. We can trust him, and we can keep crying out to him, knowing that he is the answer. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. And we can come straight to God through him, through faith in him, and seeking him. Persistent prayer. Keep crying out all the more to God. Because notice here, he kept crying, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus, help me. Have mercy. We need to be doing that every day. In verse 40, notice here, he says, and Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. Jesus heard him and he stopped. He stopped. He was going to this great multitude, all these people. Notice here, all these people, no doubt wanting something from him. Over and over, the Bible tells us about how the great crowds would throng about him. They go all about him, wanting healed, wanting this, wanting that. And Jesus would come out with teaching. They wanted healed physically and all these things. And when Jesus would tell them the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, he says they departed and followed him no more. Because it got hard. Jesus told his disciples after all the multitude left, will you too depart from me? He said, no, Lord. Where would we go? You have the truth. Jesus has the truth. He has the eternal life, brothers and sisters. There's no other way. Trust and obey him. Lord, help us. Son of David, have mercy on me, he prayed. And Jesus stopped and commanded. He stopped. All this crowd. Brothers and sisters, there's countless people. I don't know how many people's in this world. Nobody really knows. They'll gauge the world's population, but nobody knows that except the Lord God Almighty. He knows the numbers on our the hairs on our head are numbered by our Father in heaven, because he creates us and sustains us. I've been in the barber shop before and looked down where they cut my hair, and there's hairs all over the place. I thought, it's amazing. God says this word, the hairs on our head are numbered. He knows all those down there. He knows it all up here on my head and on yours and everybody. He knows everybody, everybody in the whole entire world. He knows their name. When they're born, he keeps them alive and sustains him. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this is judgment. He appoints death. He appoints life. He's the Lord, the giver, and taker away. Son of David, have mercy on me. But he gives life. Not temporary life. Life eternal. Jesus said, God gives you life, and life more abundant. The only way you can ever have life is through Jesus Christ. You have existence now. You're an existing person. When you die, it's eternal death if you don't know Jesus as Savior. But if you have Jesus as Savior, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, guiding you, if you're saved by the grace of God, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not with ink to be washed away, but with the blood of Jesus, you're there for eternity. God's children. We're his children. We're born again, brothers and sisters. Son of David, have mercy on me. God has mercy. He'll have mercy on you if you call upon his name. Jesus stopped without all these people. He knows all the people in the world. He knew all the people in that crowd. He stopped when that one man called upon his name. If you'll call upon him, he knows you. He'll be there. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. She'll say, Jesus, have mercy on me. He'll help you. There's a story of a Puritan back in the 1600s, 1700s thereabouts. I can't remember the exact century. But he was a lost man. This is before he was a Puritan. He was lost. He didn't know the Lord. He was raised up in a Christian home, but he rejected it. He would live a life of revelry and debauchery, wickedness. And God was convicted his heart one day. And he just remembered a prayer that he was taught in church house as a child. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, I come to thee as a little child. In simplicity, please come and help me. He didn't know. He wrote in his book, I didn't know how to call upon the Lord. He just remembered that prayer and just said, Lord, help me. And prayed that. And God did, and God saved him. He didn't take eloquent prayers. It didn't take a long list. Just simply calling out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Truly meaning it. Keep calling. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Search for the Lord, and you will find. You've searched for him. Jesus stopped. All that crowd, he stopped. Save one man that called upon him. He'll stop all in this world to save you. He'll call upon him. Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. Bring him to him. Jesus said, bring him to me. And when he had come near, he questioned him. Now notice here, this is something we can learn as children of God. He questioned him. Jesus, Son of God, Almighty God, by him all things were created. Nothing was created without him. He said, verse 41, of Luke 18, what do you want me to do for you? He asked him first, what do you want me to do for you? Over and over you'll see in the gospel, before Jesus healed somebody, what did he do? He first asked them. He let them ask him. And then when they asked, he would say, what do you want me to do for you? They needed to pray. They needed to ask, brothers and sisters. God knew what he needed. He knew his needs. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and mercy, the Bible tells us. We need to be asking and praying. As closeness. Close to him, brothers and sisters. So often we want something. We want something from the Lord. We want to be closer. We want to be healed. But did you ever ask? Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. If your prayer is in accordance with the Word of God, with God's will, knock, and the door will be open to you. How do we know God's Word? We get in it. That's how we'll know the will of God. If it's against this book, it's against God. It's against his will. You will never ever find God wanting to give you something that's not in accordance with his word. You won't find it. People will tell you that. The devil will love to tell you that. But brothers and sisters, if it's against the word of God, it's against God, because God is yesterday. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Jesus Christ never changes. I, the Lord, I change a thought, the Bible tells us. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 to this very day and tomorrow and for all eternity, God never changes. We are always saved by grace through faith. I used to be looking forward to the cross, now we're looking back at it through history. Faith in him. Trust in him. What do you want me to do for you, brothers and sisters? God's asking, what do you want? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. He knew he's Lord. Lord, I want to regain my sight. That's what he wanted. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, because he asked. Ye have not because ye ask not. Are you asking the Lord to be able to see? Are you asking him? Or are you just sitting around, letting the devil do as he pleases in your life? Or are you seeking God actively? The Bible says that God is ever present. If you seek him, you will find. If you draw near to God, he will draw nigh unto you. That's a promise. He says it every time. If you draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto you. Lord, I want to regain my sight. He wants to see it. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. Receive your sight. He asked for it in faith, and he received it. Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. How did he get this sight? By faith in Jesus Christ. How do we get our sight spiritually? By faith in Jesus Christ. How do we get healing? By faith in Jesus Christ. If you've got some sin in your life, how do you get it healed? The devil will tell you to try to do it yourself. You can't. You're a person. We're people. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the blood of Jesus every day. By faith in Jesus Christ, by crying out to him, your faith has made you well. The answer is faith. Faith in him. That's how we're saved. That's how we're sanctified. That's how we're to live our life. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, oh, God didn't wait. He didn't tarry. Immediately, he regained his sight. He regained his sight. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, he'll give you sight spiritually right now. He'll give you sight immediately. He'll save you immediately. you'll call upon him. If you're a child of God saved, he'll restore you immediately if you'll come to him. Immediately he regained his sight. Now what did he do after he regained his sight? He didn't say, well, this sure is nice, and walked off and went about his own way. God heals you. Don't walk about your own way. Don't forget God. He regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. He began following the Lord Jesus Christ. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, if you're not going to do that, you cannot follow him. You will not be in heaven. When you took up your cross, back in them days, they knew what that meant because they saw crucifixions. If you picked up your cross and started walking toward the hill, life was over for you as you knew it. It was done with. No more the same. You were going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and you were going to die to yourself. It was done for the way things used to be. Brothers and sisters, have you truly took up your cross? Have you truly put your faith in him? If you have, the old ways are passed away. Your old self has died on the cross of Calvary with Jesus Christ, and we're risen again with him to walk in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, has there ever been a moment in your life like that? Or has it all just been spoken, but no faith? Has Jesus come into your heart to change you, your mind, your soul, and your spirit? Has he redeemed you? Have you put your faith in him? Child of God, or is your faith currently in him? Are you walking with him and talking with him, seeking his way? He must increase, but we must decrease. Immediately that man regained his sight, and he began following him. He started following the Lord. We need to follow God. It's an active thing. He didn't just say he followed him for a little while. It says he began following him. Follow him all the way to our last breath when we cannot fear death. You fear death. As a child of God, you don't have to. As a child of God, it can be a seamless transition from this life to the next. As if you're saved by the grace of God, you'll never die. This physical body may pass away, but it'll just be buried somewhere and your spirit will depart the moment you breathe your last breath. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know him as Savior, then all you'll ever know is death. This world, this wretched world, is the best it'll be. But for a child of God, this is the worst it's ever going to be in this world. In our Father's house, there are many mansions. He's gone to prepare a place for us. If it were not true, he would have told us so. Brothers and sisters, God's not a liar. Jesus is not a liar. He's prepared us a place in his heavenly home, in our heavenly home. Our address is the New Jerusalem for all eternity. It's not Tennessee, but just for a little while. We're just passing through as the tabernacle passed through the desert temporarily. So too are we, temporarily passing through this world. He began following him. Let's follow him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving him and our neighbor as ourselves, loving him above all things. And it says there, he wasn't just following him, he was glorifying God. You're the best way to glorify God, most wonderful way to glorify God, give God the glory. It's not just with our lips. We need to speak praises to him and sing to him and tell others about it. But it's how we conduct our conversation in the way the King James Bible uses it. Conversation. In the old days was the word of how you're living your life, conducting yourself by God, by trusting in him, glorifying God in your mortal bodies. The Bible says, glorify God in your mortal bodies. That's not a suggestion, brothers and sisters. It's a commandment. God wants to be glorified in you. He wants to use you for his glory, bring glory, show his grace and love to those around us. So if you're a child of God, if you know him, you should love him more than anybody else. What is the most closest thing to your heart? What do you love the most? Is it God Almighty and his word, or is it something else? What do you think about all day long? What do you speak about all day long? Is it something else other than God? Then check your salvation. Check yourself according to the word of God, brothers and sisters. Do you know him as Savior? Have you put your faith in him? He says there, glorifying God. Let's glorify God. We want to do it for God, not for ourselves. We don't want things in our life that are not glorifying to God. God, help us to be sanctified by the Spirit. God, help us to glorify you. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Now notice here, all the people saw it. He's a witness. The people that said, no, quit talking to Jesus. What did they do? They started praising God. It says, all the people saw it. They were all praising God. Everybody. Brothers and sisters, we'll be praising God for all eternity. Let's start right now by putting our faith in him. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? This blind man did. He received his sight. Physically, oh, praise God, he received sight. Spiritually, most of all, he knows Jesus. We'll see him in heaven someday. Other Gospels tell us his name. His name was Bartimaeus. And we'll know him on heaven. We know all of God's children, all of our siblings in Christ. God has children only. No grandchildren, no great-grandchildren. He just has children, sons and daughters, who have put personal faith in Him. Personal faith. And when you have that personal faith, we come together as a church, as the assembling of the saints. That's what the word church means. It's an assembly together of God's children, God's saved children. Have you received your sight? Are you walking in it? Or are you, as a child of God, you may receive your sight, but are you living in darkness? What happens if you live in the darkness for too long? Your eyes, they adjust to it. They get used to it. There's them old blind catfish at the bottom of them lakes up near Sweetwater. They can't see a thing because they've lived in darkness so long. Brothers and sisters, don't live in darkness. Live in light. God may send correction your way. If you're asleep in a dark room and someone flips them lights on, it hurts your eyes at first. God may be shining that light right on you, right in the spot in your life that needs correction, that needs faith in Him. You may sting a little bit, but it's for your own good when God sends it. You'll know if it's God or if it's something else. We know if it's God or something else if we're honest before Him. Take an honest look at yourself. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We can judge ourselves and say, I need a Savior. You need a Savior. We all need a Savior every day of our life. Brothers and sisters, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want God to do for you? Is it selfish or is it a service out of love for Him? This man proved it. After he received his sight, if it was for selfishness he was asking, he would just got up and walked off. But he didn't. God knew his heart before he even healed him. It was out of love. Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Where's your faith? Is it well founded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Or is it on something else? Brothers and sisters, keep your faith in Him. Keep yourself in the love of God, the Bible tells us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we seek God first, everything else will be took care of. Seek Him first. Everything else will be how it's supposed to be. Let's serve God, put our faith in Him, and leave the consequences up to Him. Let's get in the Word every day, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Help us. Help us, Lord, to serve You and have our faith in You every moment of every day, Lord, knowing that You can heal us, knowing that we have sight through You. Thank You, Father God, that we can see clearly Your Word of God by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for redeeming us. If there's someone out here that sees this, that doesn't know You as Savior, Lord, prick their hearts to call upon Your name, Lord Jesus, to say, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Father God, help them. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Help us to hide it in our hearts so we may not sin against Thee. Bless everybody at church, Lord. Help us to be able to assemble together again, Lord, as You commanded. Very soon, Lord, we thank You, Father God. In the blessed name above all names, the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's been a tremendous blessing to be able to examine the Word of God. Examine it every day, personally, with the Holy Spirit as your guide. Get in this book, brothers and sisters. It will change your life. God bless you all, and we hope that they'll allow us to assemble together again very soon. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
33 minutes.